glory, the King above all kings. Yeah, this is amazing grace.
Gives up and never runs out on me. Your love The world.
Then I
Give God praise in His house today. All over this building, give God praise. He's worthy. We love you, Jesus. We lift up the mighty name of Jesus, the one who is seated on the throne. Come on, give Him praise. Don't stop giving Him praise. He's an eternal God. He's a great God. He's a great God, a mighty God, seated in majesty. We love the name of Jesus. We love the name of Jesus. Right where you are, just imagine the face of Jesus. Just close your eyes, lift your hands, whatever you need to do. But imagine the love of Jesus enveloping you right now in this moment. The nearness of Jesus and the intimacy of Jesus. In the quiet of this moment, as we come back to the heart of worship, as the song says, we still ourselves before the presence of the Almighty God. And we know that He is near. Just rest in this moment of peace. Let God give you a fresh revelation of His greatness, even in this moment. Jesus, we worship You. Jesus, we magnify You. Jesus, we glorify You. Come, Holy Spirit, move in this place. We wait on the Lord. I believe that He's going to wash over our hearts this morning. That He's going to remind us of how great He really is. How great His power is to move, to save, to heal, to deliver. This is a sacred moment. We're going to wait just a few minutes and let the Holy Spirit do what He needs to do. So block everything else out of your mind in this moment. Focus on the Lord and let Him touch you. As the music plays softly, just worship Him in your own heart and in your own way. Keep playing, musicians. Keep playing. I feel a wave of the Spirit. Do you feel that in this room? Do you feel that? That's the Holy Spirit moving right now. If you don't feel it, just say, God, touch me right now. And if you do feel it and you want more, say, God, touch me right now. Just receive it. Just receive it. Just receive it. That is the peace of God filling this room. Freedom, freedom, Jesus, freedom, freedom, hallelujah, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. Release all over this place. God, we give you praise. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sing that chorus one more time. How great thou art. Go ahead. Let's sing it out together.
Then sings my soul.
Sing it again, how great thou art. Come on, just release whatever you need to release to the Lord today. Through this song, through this music, as you sing, just release it. Praise in this place. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of Jesus. Glory to the name of Jesus. You can be seated. Such a joy to be with you in the house of God today. For where the people are gathered, that's where the Lord is. Amen? God is in us. We are the temple of the living God. And whenever we come together, we get to experience His presence in a powerful way. So I want to welcome you to Carpenter Shop International Church. If this is your first time with us, please visit us in the foyer after the service. We'd like to give you a personal welcome to Carpenter Shop Church. And at this time, we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. There are several ways to give. You can do so by text. You can do so on our My Church app. You can also do so on our website. And if you're giving by cash or check, you can make your way forward at this time to drop your offering in the buckets. God bless you as you give.
9/11, and we remember. How many remember where you were when it took place? Most of us. How many remember the telephone calls that you received? Oh my goodness, turn on the TV. Are you watching the news? Are you listening to the news? I was working with hospice at the time, and we were all out on the roads. And we have a wonderful woman that oversees where we are and makes sure that we're in when there's a storm or before the storm hits, she tries to get us in. And she called and said, I don't know if you've heard, but your patients are going to be very upset. And so we just want you to know that when you're going in. So I turned on my radio. I always listen to the Christian radio station, and a lot of times I always listen to a CD or something. So I turned on my radio just to find out what was going on. So many of us were in that position where we felt shaken, but we also needed to pray and give out strength. And so when we feel that way, when there's nothing in our control as a human to do, we call on God and we say, God, I don't know what to say to these people. I don't know what to do to these people. I don't know how to respond, but God, give me the words. And you know what? Every home I went into that day said, will you pray for us? Yes, will you pray for us? Will you pray for those people? Will you pray for those families? And we all remember those times, don't we? Not knowing what would come next. And knowing that America was in a different state. Well, you know what? America's in a different state now. So let's continue to pray, people. Let's continue to reach people for the Lord. And let's continue to allow God to give us strength to minister to other people. Today, I have the wonderful opportunity of sitting beside Keisha in worship. It's interesting when you get to know somebody from afar, and then when you get to know them a little closer and more personal, you begin to see the little things that you didn't see when you were seeing them from afar, like how she worships. But I loved something that she put on Facebook today. And our women are no stranger to Keisha Spivey, because she's come and spoken to us before and embedded in us a desire to reach other people and a hope and an encouragement for ourselves. But she put on something about something that I've actually battled with, because I've been going through a period of rest. Which doesn't mean that you're not doing stuff, that you're not busy, that you're not engaged in things, but it's a restful season in the Lord. And you know, I think today, when we were in worship, there was a restfulness in our worship. There was a coming in from a long week, and there was a laying down of the stress, even the stress of getting here this morning. We don't even live in traffic, folks, but it's a stressful getting here. You might have to pass by a tractor or a combine. You might have to stop for a deer or a couple of bear. We don't live in the rat race of a huge city, but still there's stressors in our life. Your parent may have called you this morning and said, I'm out of my medicines. Your neighbor may have called right down the road a little ways and said, do you have electricity this morning? We're out. This is the stress, just little stresses that build and build and build. And you know what? We take them with us if we're not careful. If we're not careful to get in that car on the way to church and say, God, I'm coming to church today, even though I've had a stressful morning, even though my hair wouldn't curl, even though I couldn't find the pants I wanted to wear, even though I'm coming, Lord, and I'm giving to you I'm giving worship to you. I'm laying aside all the things that are filling my mind, and I'm just worshiping you. I'm just standing in your presence, resting in your presence. And that is exactly what Keisha shared on Facebook. There are those seasons that God says, rest. And it's a wonderful time, even though you may not be used to that, it's a wonderful time to sit and listen to the Father and feel his embrace. And that spoke volumes to me. Keisha is absolutely great on Facebook, updating us and keeping us women connected. Even nuggets that God gives her always speak to my spirit. And I use those nuggets. I share them with other people. But today we're so excited to have Eric and Keisha Spivey with us. They are leaders of Ripple Effect in Rocky Mount. And we are excited because not only are they reaching the area of Rocky Mount, but recently they have been in Africa. And so God is enlarging their territory in a different way, probably a way that they didn't even realize would take place, but it's taking place, and they're stepping in those doors, and they're allowing God to use them. So today we invite them to come and share with you about their ministry.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. My husband is sitting there. He would be up here with me, but this morning had an opportunity. We call it birthdays. I think he moved wrong and like pulled something in the back. So we prayed and we laid hands, and so we're letting him sit there, but it is definitely something God has given to us. But I want to share one thing before they show the quick video. Worship was powerful. It was beautiful. And I had this little spiel I wanted to give Pastor Wallace that I wanted to share. But as I worshiped this morning and we were singing about the faithfulness of God, I got overwhelmed with realizing it could have been me. The people that we serve, the people who are homeless and hungry and lost and broken, busted and disgusted, who don't know their way, it could have been me. And for those who don't know my story, you know, I was raised in a very dysfunctional family. I tell people we put the funk in dysfunctional. You know, I don't know y'all's fragrance, but ours was not real sweet. But my dad was an alcoholic, functioning alcoholic, who spent years addicted on drugs. My mom suffered from closet alcoholism, but she was spent my entire life depressed. And mostly, you know, they didn't call it alcoholics when you drank wine enough to just sleep, to not be functioning, not the heavy stuff, but she would drink enough of that to where she would miss life. So I would raise my sister and brother. I've bailed everybody in my family out of jail. You know, I have a story. But as we worship today, I thought about it could have been me. So I want you guys to just look at this quick video about Ripple Effects, and then I'll give you a little bit about what we do. But it not only could have been me, it could have been you. So if we could just play the video.
What we are about as an organization is real life. The mess, the beauty, the pain, the joy. All of that and everything in between. We immerse ourselves into it. We jump right into the middle of the chaos with people and start swimming right there next to them. We work with people who are affected by trauma, caught up in the middle of crisis, and pushing through pain. And the reality is, we all are. If we're honest, what affects one of us affects all of us. Allowing ourselves to be thin-skinned enough to be affected, to feel the pain, to experience the loss, to fight back tears, is absolutely crucial. At Ripple Effects, we feel the suffering of the people who walk in our doors. It is out of that place of pain that we birth action. The type of action that is meaningful and able to change the actual situations that are causing the pain and creating the suffering. That is family. That is ripple effects. This is what the ripple making movement is all about. It is being affected by the pain of others, so much so that we engage and do something about it. What we see is a world where families, parents, and children are free to be whole, housed, and filled with hope, where they're not trapped in cycles of desperation and hopelessness. We see the end of children sleeping in cars, not knowing from day to day where they will rest before heading into school the next day, acting like everything is okay. We see the end of parents feeling alone, ashamed, and afraid to ask for help. Some may say that this is naive or just wishful thinking. At Ripple Effects, we call it a BCAD, our big, crazy, audacious dream. This is more than possible, it's doable, and it's happening every day. We see it. The beauty of this thing is that it's not about me. It's not about our team. It's about people rising up and saying they believe in this type of work. It's heart work, it's life work, it's transforming work. I believe we can change the world by changing someone's world, one person at a time. Ripple Effects is a movement on a mission. We have people that are able to write large checks, and we have kids who collect cans so that they can take the cash and turn it into compassion for others. The people connected to Ripple Effects do what they do with love, enthusiasm, and passion. They realize that they're only responsible for doing their part. And when we all come to the table with our individual puzzle pieces, we can connect, we can collaborate, and we can create the image on the top of the puzzle box. At the end of the day, we're not asking people to do anything they cannot do. We're asking people to do what they can do, what they feel led to do in their hearts. This is what makes the difference. This is how lives are changed. This is how we make ripples that last into eternity. Today, we're only asking one question. What is it that you can do? What can you add to the family committed to make the changes that are making the difference? What gifts are in you? What resources do you have access to? What can you bring to the table? Mother Teresa said, "I alone cannot change the world, but I can cast the stone across the waters to create many ripples." What is the stone that you have in your hand, or maybe in your pocket, that you can cast and make ripples? Ripple Effects, it's not about a cause. Ripple Effects is not about issues. Ripple Effects is about people. People. And more people. Thank you for being a ripple maker and for being a part of our family. We are making a difference. Lives are being changed. One ripple at a time.
Good morning, good morning. My wife took a little dig at me this morning, so I had to get up here. Believe it or not, that was the same woman in the video. I think I counted about four or five different hairstyles, so if that tells you anything about my wife, she is a piece of work. So I just wanted to come up here and say good morning to you all, just to see your faces. It's rude to come visit and not look everybody in the eye and just say hello, good morning, and just introduce myself. Again, my name is Eric, and I serve I manage the operations, the business operations for Ripple Effect. So I'm behind the scenes. Much of what I do goes to support the work that the team does. And so I prefer to stay behind the scenes, doing those things, making sure we're legal, making sure somehow we've got people who expect to get paid every couple of weeks. So that's what I do. So keep the lights on and make sure that that everything is in place for the team to go out and do what they do. So I just want to take a moment to just appreciate my wife, because I'm just recently joining the team in March, full time. And so to be a part of what she has been able to create in just a few short years has been amazing. So I'm going to give you my wife, Keisha Spivey. I'm going to make my way back to my seat. But again, good morning, and thank you so much for having us.
Joy, you would understand this. When I realized I could not change people, I decided to change my hair. So every time I realize I can't change people, I change my hair. So, but at Ripple Effects, what we are, we're fishers of men who teach people to fish. You know, we teach people to fish. We are a parachurch ministry that literally comes alongside local churches to help be the hands and feet of Jesus. Because what happens is on Sundays, you guys come in and you're taught and you're a part of an amazing fellowship. Your pastors love God. They love each other and they love you. And they create an environment for you to come and grow. But what I realized as I've served as a pastor and I've been in ministry for over 30 plus years is, what about the people not coming here on Sunday? They're not going to come in anybody's church. Many of them have never heard the gospel, and some of them have fell out of love with church because of church people. And so they've lost touch with God. So what we do is we go fishing in the street. And we go love on people that are hurting, broken, and busted, and disgusted. And we show them what Jesus is in skin. And we love on them, and then they ask us why, and we tell them why. And we've been fortunate to do that in Rocky Mount. And during 2020, they're all running together now, God opened up a door for us to create a center in Kenya that does exactly what we do here. The thing that we emphasize there, to God be the glory, what we realized is it's one thing to be trapped in a cycle of poverty, and then for missionaries to come over and say Jesus saves and Jesus is the answer and then leave. But who's teaching them how to walk out the Bible? Who's discipling them in the things of God? When you are in a place and you make less than $30 a month and your kid's tuition to go to school because it costs is more than that, how do you survive? How do you eat? How do you live? So it's one thing to say God is the answer, but then how is he the answer in my life? How does the Bible become alive in my situation? So we created a center that teaches the word, and it teaches them how to walk out the word where they are. So we are teaching people tailoring. We had a bazaar. Yes, give God a praise because he's worthy. We've actually teaching them skills so that they can take care of their families, because I work very, very, very hard. So I'm not into the handout business. I'm not into handouts at all. I'm into hands up. But when you're down in the pit, if somebody doesn't reach down to help you get up, we just walk by and look in. Where's the gospel in that? Where's Jesus in that? And so we are teaching them tailoring. So yesterday at the center, we did a bazaar, and over 100 garments were sewn by women in Kenya that we're teaching to earn a livable wage so they can take care of their family. You know, we have created environments where there's true discipleship for women coming out of trauma. It's one thing to say Jesus saves and people to come out of witchcraft, but who's teaching you how to unlearn what you've learned and relearn truth? You can't put new wine in old wineskins. So we walk with them. We are having programs for kids to get education so that they can go to high school, because most kids stop in the eighth grade because it costs so much to go to continue their education. It costs so much to them. But for $400, we can pay their full high school year tuition, living, boarding. So we started creating ways to get those kids educated, because I believe it is the gospel in education that changes the trajectory of everybody's life. The gospel in education. So at Ripple Effects in America and Ripple Effects in Kenya, we focus on three things: education, economics, and eternity. Because until you educate people that there is an answer and there's hope, then you show them how to execute it, and then you get them eternally secured. See, what happens is we want to throw the Bible, but throwing the Bible without the education and then showing them how to execute it sends people on cycles. So at Ripple Effects, that's what we do. We come alongside the church because here's what we realize. Early in our city, there are a lot of churches who want to do good work, but they don't have people that know how to walk the streets. They don't know how to deal with people coming out of trauma, just needing inner deliverance and healing and coming out of addiction. And so we want to love on them, but unless you're trained in how to love on them in a way that they don't hurt you or you don't have to hurt them, because it goes both ways, then how do you do it effectively? So what we do is we hit the streets. You know, I am an ordained pastor with Assemblies of God, and people say, what's your church? My church is street church. It's anywhere I put my feet. Anywhere we put our feet turns into a church service. Anywhere we put our feet, anywhere our ministry, we set up on street corners and we put on music and we serve chicken and people come. And guess what? We feed them physically, feed them spiritually, get them saved, then baptize them. Church. It doesn't look traditional. It's very unorthodox. It doesn't fit into anybody else's box. But how many of us realize that the times that we're living in requires for some strange and peculiar people to be strange and peculiar? So that's what we are. That's what we do. And so just be in prayer for us and the work that we're doing here. We also just planted a church. And so we will be doing the ribbon cutting on the church in Kenya in October when we go back, because you cannot start walking with them and then they get hungry for the word and then you send them back to places that's not teaching the truth. So we've planted a church, Bethel Worship Center, which we are launching officially in a couple weeks when we go back to Kenya. And so that's just a little bit about who we are. You know, we have tons of information. You can check out our website. But what we do and what I believe our organization does well is we fill gaps and build bridges. We fill gaps and build bridges. That's for housing. That's for hurting. That's for education. If there's a gap, we figure out how the gospel can fill it, and we help people walk across. If there's a crevice, we figure out how the gospel can build a bridge, and we walk across that bridge with them. And so that's what we're called to do. We're called to make a difference and change lives as we help people break cycles of desperation and hopelessness with the love of Jesus Christ. So thank you for the invitation to be here and to share our ministry. We love your pastors. They're awesome, and we feel like we're family already here at this beautiful fellowship. So God bless.
Thank you, Keisha. Praise God. Well, I must say, I feel a synergy in the room for coming alongside of Ripple Effects. How many of you like to come alongside of Ripple Effects? Amen. Come on. Let's do it. Let's do it. Eric, you're the businessman behind the scenes. What's the greatest need that Ripple Effects has right now? If you threw out a dollar amount, what's standing before you that seems like an obstacle? It's a Bartimaeus moment for you, man. Speak up. That's all right. Just give me a number. $10,000 need. Okay. A $10,000 need. I don't think that's impossible. I really don't. You know, part of that $10,000 is sitting in this room right now. Okay. So I'm going to make a pledge. My people can tell you I don't generally do this, but I'm going to make a pledge to you right here from this pulpit. We're going to take on a goal to raise $10,000 for Ripple Effects. Amen? I believe that's good, okay? So, you know, you say, well, Pastor, how in the world are we going to do that? You're going to do it, not me, okay? You're going to do it. I'm with you because I'm going to write a check myself. And so we need to get a good start on it today. There's faith in the room here for $1,000, $1,000. You say, well, I've never given $1,000. Well, make Ripple Effects your first effort. If you had something you really, really wanted, you know, I've really, really wanted a golf cart for a long time. Okay? And you know what? How many of y'all have golf carts? Anybody have a golf cart? Yeah, amen. I've really wanted one for a long time, but you know what? I stopped looking for one. You know why? Because I don't feel like $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 is a golf cart. How many of you know that if you're going to buy a golf cart, they're going to be somewhere between the $5,000 and $8,000, $9,000 range? I mean, I want a car for that. You know, come on. But this week, and so I told my wife just a few weeks ago. I said, you know what? Forget the golf cart. I don't have the $5,000 that I can see value to put it on something like that. So I was on the way home this past week, and a gentleman had rolled a golf cart out into the front yard, and I just stopped. I mean, it was almost, I stopped. I thought, I wonder what he's doing. So I just backed up, pulled over, stuck my emergency flashers on. I said, hey, what's up with the golf cart? He said, I'm selling it. I said, nice cart. It was a nice cart. It was nothing. I didn't see anything. I said, so the question is, I don't see anything wrong with it. So what's the next question? Does it run? No, not how much. Not yet. Not yet. I don't want it if it don't run, okay? So does it run? He said, oh, yeah. You know, he said, hop in it. So I hopped in it, and I hit reverse. Doot, 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 doot. And I backed up and took off. I thought, wow. So I said, what do you want for it? You guys are going to flip. He said, $250. I was like, dude, wait. I said, no, what do you want for the golf cart? $250. Okay. Sold, Bubba. Sold in the name of Jesus, okay? I paid him. It was in the dark. I paid him. I said, look, I'll be back to get it tomorrow. And so while I'm at night, you know, while I'm thinking about this, the devil's telling me, you just got ripped off. He's taking you $250, and you're going to get that tomorrow. That golf cart's going to be gone. No, it wasn't. It's sitting in my yard right now, ready to be used. $250, okay? So I feel like I have money because I didn't spend, you know, $5,000. I have money to give to Ripple Effects, okay? So I'm going to be the first. I'm going to give money to Ripple Effects. I'm going to ask you, because I felt this in the Holy Ghost while the ministry was going on. I heard you. You know, you were throwing your hands together. Somebody said, yes, yes. There's a synergy in the room, okay? So $10,000 is not a lot of money. I've seen $30,000 come in from this pulpit, just like that. So we're going to do this together, okay? So let's see. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to release faith in the hearts of your people. There are some sitting here that we travel, we go places, we spend money. The food bill was $150. We paid for the amusement park. We think nothing about, Lord, spending $200, $300, $400, $500 on ourselves. Today, we spend it on somebody else. We throw a rock in the pond. And God, we just want to see your ripple effect. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. So listen, take a step of faith, okay? You're a giving church. I know it because I've been here 30 years and I've seen you do it. So today, we just rejoice for $10,000 for Ripple Effects today. Write your check. Make it to CSIC. If you're giving online, Pastor Anoli, what is it, missions? Guest, okay, if you're giving online, hit guest, okay, on the app. So let's do this. I wouldn't be surprised if every bit of it just didn't come in this morning. And you, some of you, I don't know if I can give $1,000 or not. You can. Look at what you did in the last few weeks, Labor Day. You took a trip. You went to the beach. I've seen you online. You guys have been playing around. Listen, you have nothing to hide. You showed the world. You like to have a good time, okay? So have a good time throwing a rock in the pond and changing someone's life, okay? Have a good time doing that. Amen. I'll talk to you, Pastor Joy. I got a number in my spirit, but I want to talk to you about it first. And we're going to do that. So listen, let's give. Come on and give. Drop your funds in the bucket. If you're giving, give online right now. Pastor Anoli will apprise us what that is. And I just feel good about giving $10,000 to you guys. I really do. I really do. Do you feel good about that? Come on. Making a difference. $10,000. Let's do it. So God bless you. And let's come on as the song starts. Just come on and give what you have to give today. And let's bless this ministry incredibly. Praise God.
Isaiah 61:1. The brokenhearted, broken.
Praise God. It's good to give $10,000, isn't it? Praise God. Thank you, Eric, for having the boldness to say that number. He's probably sitting there thinking, like, man, I don't want to say that. Okay, I don't want to tell $10,000. Listen, God, listen, $10,000 for a ministry like that. Just a few weeks ago, two, 3 weeks ago, I watched them touch Kenya in an amazing way. And Rocky Mount, the city on the rise. And, you know, surrounding area. I appreciate what you do. I really do. And I thank God. I think there's a special touch upon your life. In fact, can I prophesy over you? The Lord says that you haven't seen the likes of vision that he hasn't even planted in your spirit. God's going to birth some addition, some second part. The ripple is going to become a major wave, okay? God is going to position you to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask, think, or imagine. This is the prophetic word to you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So get ready. Well, I got two bands on my arm this morning, okay? One of them is representative of these baskets sitting in front of you. And if you didn't get one last week, those of you who've been following our series on encountering God, these are tremendous tools to share the gospel. And how many of you had an opportunity just to bless somebody with a conversation, engaging in conversations this week? Praise God. Amen. Do that. On the table in the foyer, somebody say foyer. On the table in the foyer are carpenter shop cards. It has our mission on the back, and it has an invitation to the worship service on the front. Grab one of those. It's got, you know, 50 to 100 cards in there to go along with your card and to invite people to church, okay? I have another band on my hand. It says, pray for Wayne, and his family is here this morning in worship, and they will be at the Welcome Center at the end of the service. One of these bands, just a $5 contribution, can help someone who's facing a tremendous crisis in their life and their health. I visited with Wayne just this past week on Wednesday night. That man's got a giant of a spirit. He's not quitting, man. He's braced for the journey. He is. And I believe that God is going to touch his body. But let's come alongside and help someone locally right here and just pick up a band. And that band will remind you every day, hey, pray for Wayne, okay? Pray for Wayne that God would touch him and heal his body and restore him to good health. Amen. Well, good morning, Carpenter Shop International Church. I'm excited to be here this morning. Are you? I'm excited to be here. How many of you are ready for a word from the Lord today that just might change your life? Come on. Just might change your life. Turn with me in your Bibles or on your iPad or your phone, your cell phone, to John 16, verse number 7. John 16, verse number 7. In fact, if you like, you can simply follow along on the church app. If you don't have it, you can text 77977 to CSIC app, and the sermon will come up before you. It'll just be a piece of cake. All you got to do is fill in the blank. I make it easy for you. Plus, you say, hey, you remember that message Pastor preached? All you got to do is go to the app. All of them are there, okay? All of them are there so other preachers can steal them and use them too. Amen? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hey, I'm preaching in an inner city tonight. I got a call from a town, Hertford, North Carolina, where I was born and raised. And a gentleman that I went to school with many, many, many years ago, he said, hey, man, he said, I know this is off the cuff. I wasn't planning this, but he said, I feel like the Lord told me to call you and ask you to come and preach the tent meeting Sunday night. So I'm going back into my old stomping grounds in Hertford, North Carolina, going right in the middle of the street that I was scared to go down when I was a kid. King Street, okay? King Street is where the murders took place. King Street is where the drug deals were coming down. King Street is where the shot houses were. And that's where I'm going tonight, and the worship team's going with me. And if you want to come, just Google King Street, Hertford, North Carolina. I'll see you under the big tent at 7 o'clock, okay? Praise God. We're going to believe God for that. John chapter 16, verse 7 is one of those verses, one of these scriptures that brings a little bit of a challenge to me. I'm going to be honest with you, because of the context of what Jesus was saying and how it affected his disciples, those Christ followers. It brings a little bit of a challenge to me. I mean, just look at the nature of the narrative here. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. This is what Jesus is saying. It is to your advantage. I want you to catch this. It is to your advantage that I go away. Oh, man, look, now I'm telling you, I have a little bit of trouble with this. Jesus is with me. Jesus is healing the sick, raising the dead, touching blinded eyes, spitting in the dirt, making mud, and causing a man to see. He's doing all these kinds of tremendous, miraculous things. But he says, it is to your advantage that I go away. How many of you don't want him to leave? Come on, don't go nowhere, Jesus. In fact, the disciples said this, Lord, you alone have the words of eternal life. Okay, they don't want him to go anywhere. He says, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Y'all getting this? And so the reason that I say I'm challenged by this scripture is sometimes that if I have Jesus with me physically and I was on the earth, terra firma, during this particular season, Jesus is walking with me. As I said, he's doing the miracles. I mean, I'm seeing blind eyes open. I'm seeing the withered hand straightened. I'm seeing deaf ears come open and people start hearing, and the lame are now walking. And then Jesus springs this word on me, I'm getting up out of here. Come on. I'm just thinking that would be quite a challenge, okay? I mean, I don't want you to go anywhere, Jesus. I want you to stick close to us. I wouldn't want to walk anywhere without walking with him everywhere. And the reality that he releases this truth to us would shake me up a bit. Anybody else with me? Come on. It would shake me up a bit. He just said he was going to leave. And we do know that the disciples had issue with this as well. Why? Because later on in John chapter 14, he says this, do not let your hearts be troubled, boys. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, when I come again, I'll receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. Pastor, what are you doing? I'm quoting from the King James, reading off the ESV. I can't help it. It's down inside of me, okay? That's all right, ain't it, Pastor Bernie? I'm just preaching from the King James, and it's on the English Standard Version on the screen. It's okay. At least I know the Bible. Come on. At least my pastor knows the Word of God. Come on. Peace I leave with you. My peace now I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So listen, I have issue with this little verse. I have issue with it because it takes Jesus off the scene. And yes, not only would I be troubled, but the disciples were troubled. But Jesus really trips us up here, because look at what he says back to John 16, verse 7. It is to your advantage. I want to speak to you this morning a message that I've simply titled, I Have the Advantage. Come on. Come on, somebody say that with me. I have the advantage. Come on, say it like you mean it. I have the advantage. Come on, give the Lord praise. You have the advantage.
It is to your advantage, because when I leave, Jesus says, I'm going to send the Helper. We know the Helper as the Holy Spirit, not some persona, not some vibe, not some feeling. The Helper is the Holy Spirit, okay? The Helper is the Holy Spirit, the very third person of the Godhead. It is the Spirit. It is the Spirit of God in the earth. We have to understand this is powerful. It is the advantage for your life. So let me just say this. Let me just sidetrack here for just a second. You say, well, man, you just don't understand. I was born with a disadvantage. Come on. How many of y'all feel like you were just born in the wrong family? Don't raise your hand. They may be watching you on television, okay? I was born with a disadvantage. I wish my last name won't, you know, don't go there, okay? You are who you are. God created you. You are not an accident. You are divine designed by the Lord Himself. He had something in mind when He created you. Come on, can I get somebody to help me here this morning? God doesn't make any junk, beloved. Come on. He doesn't make any junk. He had something tremendous in mind. But you may say, well, you know, I've always lived with a disadvantage. You just heard a woman of God say, I was born in a dysfunctional family and I was the funk. Come on. She just told you the truth, all right? Listen, you got to understand, you might feel like you were born with a disadvantage. You believe you're at a disadvantage. The devil has told you you have a disadvantage, or your whole life has been a disadvantage. But I'm here to remind you this morning that you have the advantage. It's called the Spirit of God, and He is here for you to tap into Him this morning and receive a fresh empowering from His presence today. Amen. Come on, say it with me this morning. I have the advantage. We have to say that, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak, and you need to redirect your thinking. Come on. Sometimes we have stinking thinking. Come on. We've got to redirect the way that we think. So, Father, I'm asking you right now, transform our lives. Transform our hearts. Let your presence fill this place and this space. Change our lives. Open doors. Breakthrough. Give us miracles. Give us signs. Give us wonders. Thank you, Lord, for the advantage in the name of Jesus. I look at the Spirit like the cheat code. Come on. The Spirit of God is the cheat code. The Spirit of God is the cheat code. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I don't know about you, but I remember when I used to play video games. Come on. I was in Bible college, man. I'm talking about these games like today, like Fortnite or Super Smash Brothers or Call of Duty. I didn't play any of those because they weren't around. Some of these guys are playing them. I didn't play any of those. I'm talking old school games like Mario Brothers. Doop da da doop do 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 boop boop. You know, I did all the stuff. I love to hear the boop boop, you know. I played old school video games. Come on, somebody. NBA Jam. Come on. NBA Jam. I liked NBA Jam, man. There's something about NBA Jam. I could be very good at NBA Jam because my sons, Josh and Zach, they cued me in on cheat codes, okay? Cheat codes. And they would hide the cheat codes from me, but I found the cheat code, and I remember the NBA Jam cheat code. You press B 7 times, you hold up B and Y right before the tip-off when the ball's thrown up, and what would happen? He's on fire! The fire would come out of the man's hand, and guess what? You'd be dunking on somebody. You'd be hitting three-pointers from behind the line. He's on fire! And you had to use the cheat code to get the fire. Come on, somebody. Are y'all knowing where I'm going? I'm telling you, if you tap into the power of the Holy Spirit, you done discovered the cheat code. You've done discovered the means of getting the message of Christ out into a barren and a dry and a thirsty world. You gotta have the cheat code. Come on, somebody. You gotta have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Sometimes I look at the body of Christ, I say, Lord, give them the cheat code. Come on, somebody. Give them the cheat code. Give them the cheat code. Let them know that when they get up in the morning, they need to press B 7 times, okay, and get that cheat code going on. Because some of you have somehow forgotten the cheat code to life. You have the Holy Spirit.
You are anointed and appointed. Come on. You are anointed by God, anointed by the power of the Spirit of God that is in you. And you forget that you have the keys, and you forget that you have the authority. Remember that message just a couple of weeks ago? We talked about how the 12 went out, and then the 72 go out, and the 72 come back. And remember what the 72 said? Lord, even the demons were subject to us in your name. Come on. Even demons were subject to us in your name. You have the fire of God upon your life. I hope this is encouraging you this morning to live out the full calling of God upon your life. You may feel like you are at a disadvantage, but the Holy Spirit is the cheat code for your life. Zechariah chapter 7, chapter 4, verse 6 rather. Zechariah chapter 4, verse number 6. I'm in the English Standard Version here. This is what he said. Then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Zechariah has a word from the Lord here. He's had a vision, and in this vision, he's received this word for Zerubbabel, who was rebuilding the temple and had faced some challenges. He had faced some opposition. So he received this because the Lord wanted him to know. The Lord wants you to know, Zerubbabel, you cannot do this on your own. You can't. I'm going to tell you something, man. You can't do life on your own. You can't. It's a whole lot better when you relinquish your power, relinquish your control, and say, God, here I am. I give my life to you. I give myself to you, God. And I ask you to empower me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Lead me. Guide me. Do what you need to do, God, so that I can function and fulfill the mission that you have on my life. His own power was not enough. His own might was not enough. No, if Zerubbabel was going to accomplish the task of rebuilding the temple that had been destroyed, it would only be by the Spirit of God. In other words, God is telling Zerubbabel that he's not able to do this alone. How many of y'all feel that sometimes? Like you're just alone in the matter? Like you just know, God, I don't know how you can get this accomplished through me. And God will show up faithfully and grant the Holy Spirit. God is saying, Zerubbabel, I am not a compliment to your life. I'm not an additive to your life. I am that is with you, says the Lord, for you, Zerubbabel, wherever you are. God is more than enough. You have to remember that when you're talking about the Holy Spirit, some people have some preconceived ideas that they categorize as weird. Oh, man, I don't. What kind of church do you go to? Well, we go to a Pentecostal church. And They once you label yourself as a spirit-filled believer, they toss you in the realm of the weird. No, we're not weird. We're wired. Come on, somebody. We're not weird. We're wired. We're wired to the Holy Spirit. We believe in the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives, okay? And so listen, you have to understand, we're not weird, we're wired. Jesus went away and he poured out the Spirit of God upon all flesh. That's not weird. You're not weird to seek the Holy Spirit. You're wired when you seek the Holy Spirit. I'm wired to someone that is bigger than I, stronger than I, wiser than I. He's my advocate. He's my comforter. He's my helper. He's my parakletos. That's a Greek word for one called alongside to help me, okay? He's called alongside to help me. He's called alongside to be my very present help in the times of trouble. Another aspect of the Holy Spirit, he's my friend, he's my backer, he's my promoter, he's my champion. In other words, when I get into my prayer closet, I discover that the Lord is my defender. I get alone with God, I pray to God, I talk to God, I understand that he's my defender. Angels are backing me, heaven is backing me, my advocate is on my side to lead me and to guide me. Okay? Listen, I've come to a season in my life where our grandkids, the two latest ones that were born the same week, they're almost a year old now. Come on, almost a year old. Come on, give it up for Cleo and Eli. What's up, Cleo? Eli. Cleo on the West Coast, Eli on the East Coast. I feel a rap song coming on, somebody. Cleo on the West Coast, Eli on the East Coast. I don't know where this is going. All right? But I know something that's happening in the life of Cleo and Eli. We're getting these little videos, right, Mimi? We're getting these little videos. Hey, check this out. And Eli is just standing there, you know, like he's wobbling around like a weeble that's not going to fall down. And then mama or daddy's on the side, come on, Eli, come on, come on, Eli. And Eli's taking these little wobbly steps, you know. And then when it looks like he's about to fall, you know what happens? Mama or daddy will grab that hand and strength will come to him. And then he just takes off like walking, like, look what I'm doing. Eli, you ain't doing this, buddy. You holding on. You holding on to your helper. You holding on to your advocate. You're holding on to your paraclete. Church, we need to understand, if you're going to do anything for the kingdom of God, you better keep your hand in the hand of the man that steals the water. You better let the Holy Spirit help you. He's your advocate. He's your advocate. He's your helper. Come on. And with God, you can walk many steps. You can walk many steps. You can't turn a loose. You can't say, well, you know, I like carpenter shop, but I don't like it when somebody speaks in one of them languages. I love the church, but listen, that other language is something that is an indication that there's power that you're not even aware of sometimes, because he causes you to triumph and move forward victoriously. So don't be afraid of the language. Don't be afraid of the Holy Ghost. Don't be afraid of what God's going to do. Well, I'd go to the altar, but I'm afraid I'll get in one of them shaky things like some of those people. Go on, get in the shaky thing, man. Get in the waters while they're troubled, okay? Don't worry about it. Amen? Don't worry about it. Just go for it. Go for it. I love those moments when Eli and Cleo start walking. And we start seeing them make those steps. And you know how it is when you're holding the baby's hand. You try to push their fingers out of yours because you want them, you want them to do it on their own, right? But they can do so much better with a helper. Amen? They can do so much better with a helper. We can too. We do so much better when the Lord is helping us. He's our ruach. Hebrew, in the Old Testament, ruach, it means a force to sustain my life. Spirit in the New Testament, pneuma, it simply means he's the breath. He's the wind of God. He's your very breath. He's your source. He's your advantage. Amen? Let me give you two advantages of the Holy Spirit. Two advantages that the Holy Spirit brings to your life. I know some of y'all don't want to hear this, but the first one is maturity. Come on, Pastor. You really got to talk about maturity. Listen, this is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit matures us. Amen? I'm a Christian, but am I growing? I'm a Christian, but am I maturing? I'm a Christian. Am I moving forward? Am I living a life worthy of my calling? Are the signs of maturity in my life? You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22 and 23. Here it is. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit. Somebody say Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And don't you kind of wish you'd leave the last one off? Come on. Self-control. All right. These are the fruit of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is working in my life since I've become a Christian, since I've received the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and God is manifesting these things in my life, love, joy, peace, etc. The Holy Spirit is the advantage for maturity. He produces those fruit in your life. You see, before the Holy Spirit came in your life, you were edgy, man. You'd be giving somebody the finger and it won't the thumb. Come on. You were edgy. Somebody run out in front of you and you blow the horn, you throw up a finger. You were edgy. You cuss somebody out. You were edgy. You just get all upset, get all into Kool-Aid. But since you came to Christ, come on, since you came to Christ, you've made a contract with him. Old things would pass away. I won't behave like this anymore. And behold, all things would become as new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Check it out. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, what is he? a new creation. The old has passed. Behold, the new has come. You come to Christ and he saves you just as you are. He received you just like you are. But can I just tell you something? He doesn't want you to stay that way. He doesn't. How many of y'all love Max Lucado? I like Max Lucado's writings. Max Lucado's got a book, Just As I Am. Okay? And the subtitle on the book, Just As I Am, he said, God takes you the way that you are, but refuses to let you stay that way. Okay? Amen. God receives you just like you are, but he refuses to just let you stay that way. He wants to mature you. You have to grow. Maturity is not a moment. Maturity, it's a character. You see, people spend their lives trying so hard to push somewhere. I need more money. I need more influence. I need more popularity. I need more approval. But what if I told you that Christ is really not so much concerned about all the pushing forward that we do? Better yet, he's more concerned about who we are becoming in him. Come on. Who we are becoming in him. God is in the business of producing character in us. Amen. He's producing character in us. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. I love this verse. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. How many of y'all got adults in your household speaking like kids? Come on, anybody? When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But look at this. I've underscored this word. When I became a man, come on, punch your neighbor and say, man up, dude, man up. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. I got a question for you this morning. When is when? When is when? It's when you and I come to Jesus and he begins to live in us in the spirit and we start becoming mature. Remember the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, I think it's verse 12. He says, and he gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists to prepare God's people for works of service so that, what? The body of Christ might be, what? Built up and become mature. That's the whole reason for pastors. That's the whole reason for apostles. That's the whole reason for evangelists and pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people, to train, to equip, to nurture them. And that's what God has called us to, maturity. I'm glad the Bible doesn't put an age on maturity, because I know some 17-year-olds who show more maturity than some 47-year-olds. Some 17-year-olds who are going after the things of God, that show more maturity sometime than someone who's been walking with God for 30 years. When you see, when you come to Christ, you begin to walk a walk of maturity with him. You get a new mind, a new perspective, a new character, new insights that align with who God is. This is maturity. This is the Spirit being your helper, your advantage. You have the advantage. Now, I want to talk just a few moments about maturity, because it takes on several forms. Maturity takes on several forms. The first form that maturity takes on is honor. Honor. When you walk in this cheat code of the Holy Spirit, honor should be produced in your life. Come on. Honor should be produced in your life. We're called in maturity to live honorably. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 10, be devoted to one another. Check this out. Now, you're Christian. You come to Jesus, and he says to you, be devoted to one another in love. That's not all of it. Honor one another above yourself. Come on now. Honor one another. Take it up a notch above yourself. Okay? Sometimes, listen, we have to be careful. We don't have a lot of patience with people. We just say, man, she gets on my nerves, or he gets on my nerves. You don't have a lot of patience with people. But listen, God has said to do this. He said to honor people above yourself. The Bible is clear. When you honor God and what he requests, God's going to honor you. Come on. Honor God with your bodies. If you read on in Romans chapter 12, he says, I want you to honor me with your body. Honor me with your body. Honor's not a common, like, hey, man, love the shorts. That's not honor. Hey, man, love the black shirt. That's not honor. That's just words. Sometimes, how do you know this? I'm living in the South. I know when people say stuff, half the time they don't mean it. Hello, can I get away with that in the pulpit this morning? Come on. People say things, and then they get in the car and say, I don't know what he's thinking about that black shirt. I didn't like it. Wait a minute, you just told him you liked it. Hey, man, love the shorts. You say, man, he's got some ugly legs. Why'd you tell him the shorts were nice then? Listen, I don't know about you guys, but I've discovered that people do that stuff. Okay? Can I help you a little bit? I've discovered that I've been guilty of that too. Come on. Can we just be honest and transparent here this morning? Then I realized the Holy Spirit checks me and says, wait a minute, you just said something nice to them. Now you in the car, you railing them, and they ain't even here to protect themselves. Anybody else guilty of this besides me? Come on, tell the truth and let the Lord Jesus love you. Come on. We will do that because you know why? That's flesh. That's flesh. So you give honor where you perceive value. Help me here. You give honor where you perceive value. And when you don't value something or when you don't value someone, you know what you will do? You will dishonor them. You will talk negative about them. You will diss them. Come on. You'll do that. The helper, the Holy Spirit, your cheat code, teaches you what? Honor people. Okay? Honor people. We are made in the image and the likeness of God. We've been fearfully, the psalmist said, and wonderfully made, and we need to always honor God's highest form of life, his creation, who is most like him, his creation that has tremendous value. You may not even really like that person, but you have to understand that inside that person, come on, church, is divine potential to be the person that God has called them to be. Stop looking at people and judging them for what they're missing instead of what they have. Come on. Stop judging them for what they don't have instead of what they have. God doesn't make any junk. I said that earlier. And everyone has the divine ingredients to become God's intention. My goodness, if you took dysfunction away from rippling effects, they wouldn't have any work to do. Come on. If you just said, you know what, I said this before, man, I love the ministry. I love the ministry. You'd have a dry pond, wouldn't you? Okay. I say sometimes, I love the ministry, just the people get on my nerves. Okay. I mean, listen, you can't have ministry without people. You can't have ripple effects without people. And when you have people, guess what? You are going to have dysfunction. Amen? You're going to have it. So every person, every human being has the mark of God upon their lives. You know why? Because they have the breath of God in them. I see that picture when the Bible says that the Lord God just breathed into Adam. And he became a living soul. Did you know something? When you were born, the breath of God came in you, okay? And there's a measure of faith inside of you. And some people live their lives and they never tap in that. They never encourage that. They never respond to that. But every human being on this earth, you say, you don't know my cousin. I don't have to know your cousin. I got a cousin, okay? He gets on my nerves. You don't know my brother. Well, we ain't going there, okay? Some of you saying, you don't know my mama. Listen, every person has divine potential. Every person. And they're marked by the breath of God. The breath of God upon their lives, okay? And so we may not look how they look, talk, or act, but honor will move them toward the discovery of who it is that God has called them to be. Why don't you just try a little kindness? Why don't you just be kind to somebody? Instead of rushing in the grocery store, take your time, walk slowly to the door, and then look over your shoulder and say, hey, you can go ahead, and just open the door and let that person go before you. You know what they'll say? Why, thank you. Why, thank you. Just slow down, man. Smell the coffee. Slow down. Live your life. Don't be in such a hurry because you'll miss divine moments to be a blessing to somebody. You'll miss moments to honor somebody. The second form of maturity comes in something we call wisdom. Wisdom, because God doesn't want you to live dumb. Okay? You need wisdom because God doesn't want you to live dumb. He doesn't. Job chapter 32, verses 6 to 8. And Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, man, I'm speaking in tongues up here, I didn't even know it, answered and said, I am young in years and you are aged. Therefore, because I'm young and you are aged, I was timid and afraid to declare my opinion to you. I said, let days speak and many years teach the wisdom. How many of y'all know sometimes when you're looking at somebody who's older than you, you see wisdom. They've been there, done that, and bought the t-shirt, and you just need to listen to what they have to say, okay? So he says, but it is the spirit. Look at this, verse 8. But it is the spirit, somebody say spirit. It is the spirit in man, comma, the breath of the Almighty that does what? Makes him understand. Okay? It's the Spirit of God in you that becomes attractive to other people. It's the Spirit of God in you that allows you to release information that you didn't even realize. Man, that sounded powerful. That was a Holy Ghost moment when he gave you wisdom. Okay? He gave you wisdom. And so the power of the Spirit is able to cause us to walk in maturity that shows up in the form of wisdom. Wisdom comes as revelation from God, from his word. It's God's word coming alive in us that makes us so we're not dumb. Okay? Pastor, give me some examples. Well, you don't need a GED, you need a G-O-D. Okay? That's wisdom, all right? Well, you don't need a fancy resume, you need a spiritual resurrection. Come on, somebody. You don't need qualification, you need the King. Come on. You don't need to post, you need to pray, all right? That's wisdom. You don't need to gossip, you need to forgive. You don't need a new job, you need a new perspective about the job you have. Come on. You don't need a new church, you need to be consistent in the one you attend half the time, okay? You don't need a new church, you need a new perspective about the church and a consistency about the church in which you're a part of. Last one, here's some wisdom. You don't need a new spouse, you need a new you. Okay? All right? You don't need a new spouse. You need a new you. What you need to understand is that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and starts to work in you, you will start to realize, you know what? I don't even know where God has taken me, but I trust the one who is taking me, so I yield my life to my helper, my advantage, my cheat code. All right? The last form of maturity is obedience. Man, this is a challenging one. Because it's all fun and games until the Holy Spirit, your advantage, your helper, tells you to do something that you really don't want to do. Anybody ever had that experience? The Holy Spirit's leading you. Like a while ago, somebody says, man, I don't know, $1,000, that's a lot of money. The Holy Spirit leads you to do something. Somebody probably in this room probably gave more than you ever intended to give a while ago. Guess why? Because I said there's a synergy in the room here. The Holy Spirit is speaking to people. And some of you might think, man, I hope I got enough of groceries this week. Listen, give and it shall be given to you. Press down, shaking together and running over. If you gave, you didn't give too much. You didn't. Because God is going to take care of you. And so sometimes the Holy Spirit will speak things to you and ask you to do things that you really don't understand. You say, how do I know I'm following God? Because you're not following yourself, okay? You yourself would not write that kind of check. You're following God because you know that you're not following yourself. A lot of times when the Holy Spirit speaks, it may contradict what you wanted to do or where you wanted to go. In other words, you submit your plans and your future to him, and you trust him in what? Obedience. Come on, guys. You all know Paul and Silas, right? They're the ones that broke out that CD, okay? That music release in the jail. You know, they had a Maverick City moment. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. They're up there in the jail. Everybody's trying to sleep, and they're up there breaking a Maverick City CD in the jailhouse. And guess what happened? The Bible says the whole place was shaking. Prison bars came loose. Everybody goes free. The jailer, he's so confused, he starts to grab his sword and kill himself. And they say, ho, ho, ho! And salvation came to his house. And Paul and Silas had the occasion to baptize his whole family. Think about that. If you listen, let me let you really think about that. If you were to roll that story back one chapter in the Bible, look at Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verse number 6. We know the story about Paul and Silas in jail, just rocking it on out, you know, and just breaking bad, and the jailhouse crumbles. That was a powerful moment of praise, a powerful moment of adoration to the Lord. But look at chapter 16 of the book of Acts, verse number 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, comma, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Did you catch that? It was Paul and Silas who felt like it would have been a home run to go to Asia, right? Hey, man, we get to Asia, we're going to throw down. We get to Asia, we're going to preach Jesus. We get to Asia, we're going to worship, we're going to sing. Folk are going to come under conviction and give their heart to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit says, don't go there. Are y'all getting this? The Holy Spirit says, no, you don't go to Asia. You go to Philippi. In other words, where God told them to go, put them in jail. But guess what? If they had not followed the Holy Spirit and the Lord had not restricted them, then you and I wouldn't have the Paul and Silas story today to declare to our own lives and to the lives of others that your jail experience should not define you. You're coming out of this thing, and God's going to create in you a brand new being and a brand new self, and God's going to use you powerfully. Thank God that Paul and Silas obeyed the Holy Spirit, because they wanted to go to Asia, and he says, no, you don't. You see, a lot of people see the Holy Spirit as protection. But what about when the Holy Spirit becomes your restriction? Let me say that one more time. A lot of people see the Holy Spirit as, yeah, he's our protector, and he is. But what about when he becomes the one who restricts you from doing something? He restricts you. What about when the Holy Spirit stops you from doing something that you really thought you were supposed to do? Stops you from dating someone that you thought you were supposed to date? What about when the Holy Spirit stops you from going where you thought you were supposed to go, or working where you thought you were supposed to work, or moving where you thought you were supposed to move, and the Holy Spirit says, no, don't do that? You see, we need to find value in the power of the Holy Spirit. Crazy. The Holy Spirit restricts Paul and Silas from going to Asia only to cause them to end up in jail. Now, generations later, we're preaching on the power of God in the life of Paul and Silas. You see, what happened on the other side of prison was something that the helper knew all about. Somebody say, I have the advantage. And it was the obedience of Paul, which was a form of maturity, operating in his life, that brought us that powerful story. Maturity shows up in the form of honor, wisdom, and obedience. The second advantage that we close with today, not only maturity, but the second advantage is authority. The Holy Spirit, your helper, your cheat code, is going to bring you maturity, and then he's going to give you authority. I've met a lot of people who have authority, but no maturity. I think y'all missed that. I said, I met a lot of people who have authority, but no maturity. You ever gone to a driver's license office and tried to get your driver's license renewed? Y'all seen some of those people. They got a lot of authority. You know what I think when I leave there sometime? Man, they must not get to say anything about what goes on their house, because they just unloaded everything on me, you know? I mean, where's your form? Well, I got it right here. No, I need the other one. You know, sometimes folk can be mean. I'm not just picking on the driver's license people, but anybody in one of those government agencies, you know, sometimes they can make you feel like, you know what, I'm in control. Oh, yeah, we get that. We see that, okay? you've got to have something other than this? You have to have two forms of ID. Well, I got this. No, it cannot be a Visa card. Well, what do you need? A water bill. Well, well, how about this Visa card's in my name? I need a water bill. Okay. You got authority, but man, you ain't got no maturity, okay? How about just saying this? You know, I'm really supposed to have like a water bill or something, but you know what? I'm going to use that Visa card. And you say, thank you, Jesus. You know, has anybody ever done you a favor and you knew that God was moving in your behalf and you really didn't have what you were supposed to have, but God let you through anyway? Come on. You know what? If you don't act mature, you probably won't get that. Okay? But then you have to understand that along with maturity, there does come authority. We don't need to have immature authority. We have some people that are working on the fruit of the Spirit, but they won't cast one bad spirit out of their own world. Come on. They're working on the fruit of the Spirit, but they're not ready to cast one bad spirit out of their own life. Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. And I tell you, you're Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church. Jesus is talking here. And he says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Do you understand the authority that has been given you right now as a child of God? Man, sometimes, listen, I don't have anybody to lay hands on me. Sometimes I don't have any prayer line to get in. Sometimes I say, devil, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. Get out of this car right now in Jesus' name. How many of you have ever had to run him off your presence? Come on. You don't have a prayer line to walk up to and say, oh, I'm just struggling right now. No, 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 no. You handle this battle. Why? Because you have what? Authority. You've been given the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. You have the keys to the kingdom. And many times in our lives, we get sidetracked, we get frustrated, and we're just waiting for someone else to unlock the doors that we have the keys for. Man, I can't wait till, I've heard people say this. I heard people put this on Facebook. Oh, I can't wait till Sunday when I get to church. What you gonna do Monday through Saturday? What you going to do Monday through Saturday? Don't wait till you get to church on Sunday. Go ahead and take authority over that evil spirit that is coming against you in the name of Jesus right now. Okay? Why? Because you have authority. You have authority in the name of Jesus. Amen? You've been given the keys of the kingdom. You know, you don't need another prophetic word spoken over you. If you already had 40 and you're still waiting for something to come to pass, you don't need another prophecy. You don't. You don't need another revival meeting. You don't need another, man, have you read that book? Have you read the Bible? Come on. We have a tendency to take some other human effort and raise it far above what we already have in God's Word and the power of His Spirit. Okay? You have the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the Advocate inside of you. He knows your name. He knows who you are. He's equipped you with everything you need. You have the keys and you have the authority. The Holy Spirit in me produces what? Fruit. The Holy Spirit on me produces authority. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Going to look at verse 14 and then 33 to 36. We know the narrative here, so I'm going to move through it quickly. Jesus is in the wilderness. Somebody say wilderness. Jesus is in the wilderness, and the Bible says he was there for one reason. What was it? Because he liked the desert? No. He's in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. If you study that word in the Gospel of Matthew, the Bible says Jesus was led. Somebody say led. Led, the original language for that is ekbalo, E-K-B-A-L-L-O, for those of you Greek specialists. E-K-B-A-L-L-O. You know what ekbalo means? Pushed, thrust, thrown out there. The Bible says the Father threw Jesus in the midst of that temptation. Wow. Well, that'll work on your theology, won't it? That means for where I'm going through right now, some of y'all going through some stuff. Come on, just raise your hand. It's all right. Nobody's gonna single you out. I'm going through some stuff right now. Do you know that it may be the Holy Spirit that has placed you right in the middle of your chaos? I love my pastor up until this point in the message. The Holy Spirit may have placed you right in the most confusing moment you've been in this whole season. The Bible says Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. All right? So you got to be careful here. You think, oh, you know, I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know why I'm going through this. You're going through it because God is trying to produce something in you that you don't have already. Uh-oh. You're walking through this challenging situation because God is trying to perfect a portion of your character. Okay? Stop trying to pray seasons away, bad experiences away. I'm just praying, God, to just take this thing right out of my life. No, walk through it with your helper and your advocate and your one called alongside you. Walk through it and glean the message from which it was designed. Man, it's got awful quiet in the house here this morning. Someone asked one time, I heard a preacher say this, so this is not my material. Someone said, how long is this trial going to last? How many of y'all felt that? Well, how you doing? Well, I'm just going through a trial right now. How long will the trial last? You know what the preacher said? As long as it takes for you to learn the lesson for which it was designed. Did y'all catch that? I just want to make sure so I can go on. How long will the trial last? As long as it takes for you to learn the lesson for which the trial was designed. See, you know, we're Pentecostal people. We just like to bind and loose and kick the devil out of every situation. But sometimes He has you to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, knowing that He's saying to you, fear no evil. For what? For I am with you. My rod and my staff will comfort you. I'll prepare a table for you, man. Pull out the best china in the presence of your enemies. I'll give you so much that your cup's going to be overflowing. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear anything. Because the helper is with you. Somebody say, He's my advantage. Come on. He's my advantage. So Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, leaves the Jordan. He was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, and after 40 days, He's tempted by the devil. Let me tell you, if Jesus needs the Holy Spirit, then you and I need the Holy Spirit, okay? Jesus needs the Ruach, the Pneuma, the breath of God, the helper, the defender, the advantage. If Jesus needs the Holy Spirit, so do you and I. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever said this to your kid, that you come up on a situation and they say, you know, say, what are you doing? I'm just doing something. Oh, you're full of it. You ever said that to your kid? You're full of it. Can I tell you what you're full of? You'll be led by. What you are full of, you will be led by. So why not be filled with the Holy Spirit? Okay? So you will be led by the Holy Spirit. And if you don't like where you are, your surroundings, it may be simply that by this struggle that God has allowed to accomplish something inside of you, you will be led by what you're full of. Luke chapter 4, verse number 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led, that's that word ekbalo right there, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness situation. Whew. I thought He was walking with me to pleasant places, green pastures, cups running over. Sometimes He's going to lead you into a hard spot. Amen? Amen? Jesus walked into the wilderness full of the Spirit. Jesus returned from the wilderness, the Bible says, in the power of the Spirit. Look at Luke 4:14. Jesus returned to Galilee. This is after the whole ordeal is coming to a close here. He returned to the Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And what happens? News about Him spread through the whole countryside. Amen? Listen, stand firm in the season that you're in. Stand firm and realize that God is producing in me an authority that I could not get with that season. Go through them with your helper. Go through those seasons with your advantage. A lot of people look at others and they say, well, you know, oh, look at Miss Keisha. I wish I had the anointing on my life she has. Are you willing to go through what she's been to get there? Are you willing to walk the journey that she walked? She gave you part of it on the platform this morning. Talk about my mama, talk about my daddy, talk about the dysfunction. So are you willing to walk through all of these things so that you can be someone like Miss Keisha? Okay? You better be satisfied where you are and who you are and what God is producing in you. Because you may not want to walk the path that she's walked to get where she is. Come on, give the Lord praise today. So Luke, he gives us the most chronological. If you're reading the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Luke gives you the most chronological set of activities that other Gospels don't point out. So important. Luke chapter 4, verses 33 to 36. In other words, when this temptation situation comes to a close, Jesus is out there now. And in the synagogue, the Bible says there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He's impure and he's crying out to the top of his voice. Verse 34, "Go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus comes back and Jesus said, "I can holler too." "Be quiet," okay? You say, "Well, you think Jesus hollered?" The Bible says he said it what? Sternly, okay? Has your parents ever been stern with you? Jesus said sternly, "Be quiet. Shut your mouth." I don't know what he said, you know. But according to the gospel writer here, he said, "Be quiet. Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. And all the people, somebody say all the people, were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are." Look at this. "With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits and they come out." We're here in a face-to-face. We get a face-to-face fight between the Holy Spirit and an impure spirit. And it's the authority that walks in the victory. Listen, you may feel like you're at a disadvantage, but you have the advantage. You have the Holy Spirit. It's time to mature in that walk with him. It's time to walk in the authority that he has given you. You have a spirit, listen, that gives order to everything that is out of order in your life, everything that is impure in your life, everything that is coming against you. And it's time for you and I as individuals, when one of those temptation moments comes, you just recognize it for what it is. And you say, "Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind the hand of the devil in my life. And I just loose, God, your blessing, your power, your provision, your protection over me. I'm living a pure life. I'm thinking pure thoughts. I will not entertain this." Then delete the text message. Okay? You still getting those crazy text messages? "Hey, you want to go down with me tonight?" Just hit delete. Just hit delete. Just hit delete. Throw it away. And if you can't handle that, get rid of your cell phone. Man, some people treat cell phones like it's their heart. Like it's their heart, like they can't breathe. "Oh my God, oh my, you see my phone? Do you see my phone? Mom, I lost my phone." No, you can't call your mama. You don't have your phone. We worship cell phones. We don't think we can do without them. What are you going to do when there's an attack and the whole system's been shut down? Ain't nothing you can do about it. Don't you love it when you look on Facebook? "Y'all having problems with USA today?" Yeah, every day, okay? And Verizon too. Okay, guess what? Welcome to rural North Carolina. Come on, somebody. You're going to have problems with cell phones. You see this battle here taking place right in front of you, face to face, the Holy Spirit and an impure spirit. God is the one who has authority. Because you know what he said, 1 John 4:4? "Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world." Listen, God has given you the authority. He wants you to walk in maturity and exercise your authority. Those are two, somebody say two, advantages that the helper brings to your life. Two advantages the helper brings to your life. Let's ask the worship team to come and let's close this today. Worship team, join me here. Let's just believe God for
an impartation today. I don't know what you're facing today, but I don't know where you are, but I do know this. If you are one of His, if you are one of His, you're the Lord's child, you have the advantage. You have the advantage over anything and everything that is holding you back from walking out your destiny. You're called to maturity, okay? You're called to honor. You're called to wisdom. You're called to obedience. You're called to authority. You have the advantage over all the sickness, over all the chaos, over all the confusion, over all the hurt, over all the depression. You have the advantage. You know, when I was at Wayne Smith's house earlier this week, I sat down beside him. And I said, "Wayne, so how are you doing?" He held his head up real strong. He said, "Man, I'm walking through it the best I can every day." Did you hear what I said? He said, "Man, I'm walking through this the best I can every day." Now, I could have walked in there and said, "Wayne, how you doing?" "Well, well, I don't know, Pastor. I don't know about all this." No. He held his head up. And he looked at me with confidence. He said, "I'm walking through this. It's a rough season, but I'm walking through it. I'm not quitting. I'm moving forward. I'm going through this." Okay? Father, would you release your power over his body right now? In the name of Jesus, mighty and strong, would you infuse him? Would you infuse him with a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit upon his body? In the name of Jesus, mighty and strong, be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, you keep walking. You keep going. Don't you give up. The season that you're in, it's not permanent. It's temporary. You have the cheat code. Amen. Get on fire. Get the on fire mode. He's on fire. Get on fire mode. Why you say that, Pastor? Because you have the advantage. Come on, stand with me this morning. You have the advantage. Some of you walked in here today, and you came in the door, and you have to be honest with yourself. You say, "You know what? I was just thinking about not even doing church today." Come on, anybody like that? "I was just thinking about just saying, you know what? There you go. I just ain't even going to do church today." There are others. You're not by yourself. I think I'm just going to watch it online. No, you're not. You watch 10 minutes of it and you turn off something else, get you a snack, and you'll be watching the wide world of sports. No, you're here at the right. Listen. Don't you take for granted the assembling of yourselves with God's people, because every time you come together and sit together, Joel said this to the men yesterday, it's important. We come together. There's a dynamic that's taking place in this room that you can't get off that flat screen TV on your house. You can't. You can't get it. Because you get to rub shoulders with the holy ones. You get to high five some people. You get to see in person Keisha and Eric Spivey. Come on, that's worth it right there. You get to meet the ones who God trusted with this organization. Amen? So we're here today. Come on, just tell your neighbor you love them. Come on, tell them you love them. "Man, I love you. I love you." You say, "I don't even know them." You don't have to know them. They're in your family. Come on, they're in your family. Give them honor. Come on, did you listen to the sermon today? Give them honor. "Man, you look nice today." Don't you say a word about that dress when you get in your truck. Keep your mouth shut. Okay? Come on. I want to pray for some people today. Can I have my prayer team come? I want to pray for some people today. You have nothing to be ashamed of. Nothing. You have absolutely nothing to be ashamed of. But some of you are saying, "You know what, Pastor? Man, I could just use an infusion. I realize I have the advantage, but I must express that sometimes I feel weak. Sometimes I feel beaten. Sometimes I feel bruised. I want you to come and let someone lay their hands on you today and just agree with you. Amen. Come on, step out of your seat. Come on and begin to come. Just stand in front of somebody. Always when you come to the altar, always ask the Lord, you know, who do I go to? Who do I go to? Go to the right one, okay? God has someone that's positioned there just for you today. Come on, just step out of your seat. Step out of your seat and come on. And let's just let someone join hands with you and agree with you. You have the advantage. Come on. You have the advantage. Praise God. Praise God. You have the advantage. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have the advantage. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Come on, sing it. God touch you today.
Break every chain. To break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Father, I pray that you would help us today. Help us today to understand we have the advantage. We have the Holy Spirit, an advocate, a helper, defender, backer, the one who goes with us, before us, all around us. You're the glory and the lifter of our head. You're our rear guard. So, Father, we thank you for the ministry of the advantage in our life. In Jesus' name. May we go out of here today, God, walking in maturity and authority, knowing how to honor, knowing how to be obedient, knowing how to listen to you, God, knowing that sometimes you may lead us in a way so far off from what we thought, but we trust you. You're our advantage. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give the Lord praise, guys. Hallelujah. You know, it's possible for you, if you're standing here today, you say, you know what, I'd like to partner with Ripple Effects on a monthly basis. They need monthly partners, people who just not give today, but just say, hey, I want to join you on a regular basis. Amen. God bless you. Fellowship among yourselves before you leave. Have an awesome Sunday. Preaching tonight, 7 o'clock, Hertford, North Carolina. Hertford, North Carolina, under the Big Tent. God bless you.